Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Monali Petrochemicals Limited. We have with us today Mr. Ashwin Bhatia, Chairman, Mr. M. Ravi, Managing Director of MPL and CEO of Petrochemicals Group, Mr. Anik Haigh, Chief Financial Officer. At this moment, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, you may click on the Raise Hand icon to ask a live question. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashwin Bhatia, Chairman. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning to all of you who have tuned in to participate in this conference of Monali Petrochemicals. I'm very happy that all of you could find some time to listen to us. I just want to open this meeting with a few comments from my side on the vision for the company. Here at Monali Petrochemicals, our focus is to create a company with sustainable performance. The things that are important for us to note in maintaining a sustainable performance is basically to have good operational efficiencies, focus on capturing opportunities for enhancing our production capacities, look at integrating our operations or our production systems into a greener operating avenues, look at corporate governance, invest in research and development, invest in technology, investing in good team of professionals to hold the sustainable performance of the company. Last but not the least, also to create a company that will be trusted by the society, a company that will give back to the society through our corporate social responsibility. These are some of the large vision or the broad picture that I would like to put in my opening remarks. I have with me here Mr. Ravi Krishnan, Managing Director of Monali Petrochemicals and also the CEO of the Petrochemicals Group. I also have with me here Mr. Anik Haigh, the CFO of Monali Petrochemicals. I would like to invite Mr. Ravi to now speak. Of course, we will open the meeting for Q&A session, and we are all here to take your questions and answer them appropriately. Over to Ravi.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Good morning to everybody. Monali Petrochemicals Limited is in the business of polyurethanes, where we manufacture polyurethanes which go into a wide range of applications. An additional product range that we have is propylene glycol, which goes into pharma primarily and food and fragrances. This company has been in existence for over 40 years now. Our main focus today is, as Chairman mentioned, on operational efficiency and growth. In the case of Monali Petrochemicals, one of the key areas and key differentiating factor for us is that we are the only company in India which is fully integrated into the manufacture of polyurethanes. get our raw materials. We have three raw materials. Two of them are through pipeline and one through imports. And these raw materials are converted into an intermediate product and into the final product of polyols and propylene. This integration gives us the advantage of being able to supply the market and change the product stream as the market demands. Our applications, like I said, go into both commodities and specialties. And in the specialty segment, we are able to fine-tune our products to meet the needs of individual industries and within each industry, individual customers. Quoting our chairman, our focus is on investing in R&D, which not only does fundamental product development and research, but also helps to tweak the products to meet the individual customer needs. Our capacities and all those details are in the presentation that we're going to make today. But more importantly, our focus is on sustaining and growing our operations here, and as well as growing the top line and bottom line of the company through both organic and inorganic growth. I would stop at this point and let our open it up for further questions. Anis?
Yeah. So the chairman, I just show some slides on the Q4. And the year.
Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. This is just a disclaimer statement. In course of the presentation, we may have some forward-looking statements made. So, this disclaimer statement here. This is a slide capturing the summary of the performance for the full year, FY 2021-22. So, we ended up the year with a total revenue of 1,690 crores, with EBITDA of 547 crores, PBT of 511 crores, and EPS of 22.16. So, comparing that with the previous year, so that's a growth of almost 63% on the turnover, 74% growth in EBITDA as compared to last year. PBT grew by about 90.6% over last year, and EPS by about 89%. This is a snapshot of how the quarter performance was Q4 of 2021-22. Consolidated revenue stood at 421 crores for the quarter, with EBITDA of 110, PBT of 98 crores, and earnings per share for the quarter at 4.3. So that's a revenue growth of about 14% as compared to Q4 of last financial year, and there has been a small drop in the EBITDA by 15% and 20% in PBT. This slide shows how the revenue breakup is for the current financial year and the previous financial year. So as can be seen, out of the total revenue, PG contributed about 33%. Flash stock, which is a commodity polyol sold in bulk, constituted about 22%. Base polyols about 9%. Systems polyol 4%. Pre-polymers 7%, which includes the system and the Nordom products manufactured both in UK as well as in India. And others constituted 25%. Which includes sale of PO, sale of byproducts and other revenue. This shows the numbers for the revenue growth quarter and quarter and the EBITDA quarter and quarter as compared to last year. So as can be seen in Q1, our revenue top line was 334 crores with an EBITDA of 117. Q2, 441 crores approximately with an EBITDA of 164 crores. Q3, 494 crores top line with EBITDA of 155.45. And Q4, a top line of 421 crores with EBITDA of 110. This compares the PBT Q1 quarter on quarter, current year versus previous year. So for Q1, our PBT stood at 107 as compared to 4 crores last year for the same quarter. Q2 157.53 as compared to 27 crores approximately last year. Q3 147.7 crores as compared to 113.64. And Q4 the PBT stood at 123.47 as compared to 98 crores last year. This shows how the free cash flow was generated and the capex spend and the cash and cash equivalents. So for the financial year 2021-22, we generated about 346 crores of free cash flow as compared to 194 crores last year. And capital spent was almost around the same range at around 27 crores. And we closed the year with cash and cash equivalents equal to almost 612 crores as compared to 281 crores last year. And as far as the returns are concerned, we had a return on equity of 37% for this financial year, 21-22, as compared to 30% last year. And return on capital employed for this year stood at 48% as compared to 41% for last year. And some of the key ratios from the balance sheet. So Manali has a very strong current ratio of almost 13.5, a quick ratio of 4.4, and days sales outstanding at about 36. Days inventory outstanding at 29 and days payable at about 14. An improvement from last year. Net cash cycle reduced from about 52 to almost about 34 this year. And net worth grew from about 680 crores to a level of 1030 crores. And debt to equity ratio remains very low at 0.02%. which has been the average for the last 4-5 years. And the earnings per share, as you can see, has a growth of about 90% as compared to last year at 22.16. So again, a quick snapshot about the results we just summarized in a single slide. A top line of almost 1,690 crores with PBT of 381 crores and earnings per share of 22.1. So that's all on the results briefing. We'll now hand it over for Q&A.
Yeah.
So I'll be happy to open the meeting for discussion.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please click on the raise hand icon available on the toolbar or your may click on Q&A icon to raise hand or type your question. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. Please accept the prompt on your screen and unmute your microphone while proceeding with your question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pavan Nahar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. My question is, am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Okay, my question is for the chairman, Mr. Muthaiya. Number one, thank you so much for doing this call. And would this be a recurring thing, ongoing thing in terms of reaching out to investors? Hello?
Any more questions?
I have a few, but you know, basically what I want to understand is the group's philosophy at a broad level in terms of investor relations in the other two companies. Would you do conference calls there as well? Yeah. And two is, if you can talk a little bit about the group in general. I actually have quite a few questions, given that this is the first conference call, but it is more at a broader level to understand how the group, you know, would treat minority shareholders.
Okay, let me answer your questions. First of all, this call is a call relating to Manali Petrochemicals.
Sure.
And I would be happy to say, and I'm happy to say that we would endeavor to make this an event that can happen frequently. So that is something that I would very much like to do, and we would keep the investors informed of the frequency of these meetings. Now, this call has not been organized to discuss group-related matters, so I would like to keep that to a separate event. So that's what I would like to say.
So there is, I just wanted, like, would you do similar events in other companies, like Tamil Nadu Petro or SPIC?
Well, we have started a trend of doing it, and I will I'll take note of your points, and we will try to see if we can also carry it across other companies.
I would also make a suggestion that, just in case, given that, you know, the companies are all new to the market, I mean, at least after a long time, you could even consider doing a group call, right, wherein the management companies are there, and one by one, you know, you can take up issues relating to the group companies.
Okay, point noted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kenil Mehta from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
So, would like to know, in which of the areas are we increasing the capacity, and which are the other areas where we are going to enter in coming years due to high cash in our balance sheet? And also, are we planning to enter into polypropylene, propylene resins and IPA segment and solvent segment due to our backward in forward integration capabilities?
Yeah,
I didn't catch the last question, part of your question.
Forward integration.
Okay. So the focus areas are actually in propylene glycol today. As you might have noticed, we have announced an expansion of the propylene glycol facility. And the approvals are in progress, and once the approval comes through, we will start implementing the project. In the case of solvent and in the forward and backward integration for a company of our capacity and size is not something that we can look at, because, you know, the backward integration takes us straight into something like a refinery or a petrochemical facility. But forward integration is definitely a thing that we can consider. Of course, we have to be mindful of the market that we supply into, and whether we have any chance of cannibalizing the current customer base. But that's something that we constantly look at and evaluate for growth options.
I think our focus will be first to to segregate the business into two parts. We have commodities and we have specialty. Today our commodity business is much larger than the specialty business. So our focus will be to first see if there is opportunities for us to expand commodity. Expansion of commodity can come either through brownfield expansion or through greenfield expansion. So right now what we are looking at is brownfield commodity capacity expansion, which is what we have so far announced. Greenfield commodity capacity expansion is something we are constantly looking at, but that will depend on the availability of raw material, which until today we are not yet able to confirm a security of supply of raw material to go for a greener capacity expansion on the commodity side. Coming to specialty, it is a smaller business of the two, but that is an area where we can invest in technology, we can invest in research and development, and that will be something that we will continuously keep looking at, which of course can either be through an M&A process or can be through some organic development. So both these things will help us propel our position on the specialty side. But the idea of the company is to grow both on commodities and specialties so that we have a basket of products to offer to our stakeholders. You want to add something?
No, I think that's a fair comment. And which is our acquisition of NoteDome was in that direction.
Yeah.
So, as per you, sir, which are the products in our specialty segment we are manufacturing currently?
So, we have several applications in the specialty segment. And as you know, the specialty application is quite a broad range of applications. To name a few, we have cast elastomers that we manufacture in the UK that we have actually set up a facility in India to manufacture as well. We also supply the footwear segment, which is something that is a growing segment in India. We also supply the car seating automotive segment, which has both a commodity application and a specialty application. So there are a broad range of specialty applications that we can focus on, and each of these industries have a different growth pattern, and based on those growth patterns, we kind of develop the markets from our side.
So are we planning for some import substitution products in specialty segment in coming years?
So the imports, in fact, the products that we today supply the industry is all import substitution. And there is, as you know, India is a growing market, and definitely a demand supply gap of a lot of these petrochemical products, both in the commodities and the specialties. So our endeavor will be to actually look at products that have a supply demand gap and satisfy the Indian market.
And sir, are you planning for any buyback or one-time dividend amount? Because I don't think you'll be putting a one-time big capex based on your balance sheet number of cash of 600 crores.
Sorry, say that again. I didn't hear you.
So are you planning for a one-time dividend to shareholders or a buyback of shares due to our huge cash and balance sheet?
Sorry, I can't comment on that as we don't have any such decision on those matters as yet.
So it will be used for organic growth, 600 crores in the next few years, the entire amount?
No, so we will be, as I said to you, we keep looking at expansions both on the commodity side and on the specialty side. So on the commodity side, as I told you, we are already looking at our brownfield growth, but we constantly look for also greenfield opportunities. Now, if at any stage we do come across greenfield opportunities where
we are able to secure supply of our base raw material to go for an expansion of commodity, it will require a lot of cash. So unless we are very sure that we have exhausted all our growth opportunities, we are not in a position to take a decision on the cash utilization. So for now, the cash is being accrued to grow the business in the areas that I've just mentioned.
Sorry to interrupt. May I request Mr. Mehta to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for their turn.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is a text question from Anshul Mittal from Care PMS. And the question is, hello sir, what is the polyol and PG domestic industry size and how much is imported? Can you please elaborate on the prices of PG and polyol currently and a year back? Which of the raw material is imported and what is the pricing and supply chain scenario of the same?
Okay, so I'll try to attempt one by one. The PG capacity is around 100,000 tons in India. And the polyol capacity is roughly around 1 lakh tons as well. So today, we being the only producer of PG and polyols in India, the balance of these of the demand is being met through supply from international players who are importing the products into India and supplying the domestic market. Of the three raw materials that I mentioned that we use, lime, which is imported today from many different sources, and these sources could widely vary from Malaysia, Vietnam to the Middle East. And these are the three products. The lime is the only product that we import. Besides some of the small ancillary products that we use to enhance the specialty chemical value to the company. The other question was on, can you tell me the rest of the question, please?
Sure. The next question, the follow-up was, which of the raw material is imported and what is the pricing and supply chain scenario of the same?
Okay, so like I said, lime is the only product which is imported, and because we have multiple sources, there is no issue with availability of the material on time. So what we do is because it's imported, we carry about 15 to 20 days of inventory, but we try to keep it at that level because of this availability of lime in 20. As far as the product prices go, there has been a slight decrease in the product price from last year. But then we have been able to maintain the margins because the raw material prices have also helped us and the margins have remained robust.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranay Zaveri from JNG Holdings Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you so much for this call. I think this will help enhance the visibility of the company, which will be good for investors as well as the promoter shareholder. Thank you so much. Sir, basically, since this is the first call and the first interaction with the management, if you can just throw some light, I was just going through, between 2012 and 20, in that 9-10 years, we were stuck in the range of that 500-700 crore top line run rate and an EBITDA in the range of 10-11%. And later 2 years, that is March 21 and March 22, the EBITDAs were shot up to say 31% and 36% respectively. So what has actually changed? And if you can just give a broader picture, whether that is a structural change or something one-off, that would be really very helpful.
Thank you for your appreciation of us starting this system of meeting with the stakeholders. I'll just give you some very broad comments, and then I'll let Mr. Ravi tell you exactly what has happened. Broadly speaking, as I told you, you know, our focus has been always to improve the efficiency of our operations, to focus on optimization of the balance sheet in terms of the in terms of the debt, in terms of the in terms of cash availability. So we have been focusing quite a bit on operational efficiency and balance sheet optimization. And that has given us a good base to basically take the company from what it was earlier to a level where it is today. Now, Ravi will comment to you on, you know, how profitability has changed from year to year, what is that is sustainable, what is that has happened on a one-off basis. All this, I think, Ravi can throw some light. Because also you would appreciate that last 2 years have been there have been a lot of surprises for the good and for the bad. So I think Ravi will explain to you what is sustainable and what is one-off.
Thank you, Chairman. I think there are two. I would split this answer into two parts. Over the years, what we have done is that we have tried to maximize our operational efficiency and unlocking whatever we can unlock in terms of the capacity that we have. Therefore, we set the base to supply the market in full to the extent that we can as and when the demand picks up. So that's one thing that we did. So an example of what we have done in this regard is the terminal that we set up at the port, where, you know, we import propylene oxide, which is the intermediate product, to unlock the potential of downstream. So in case there is a disruption to propylene supply from, say, the refinery, or there is we need to produce more than what the refinery can supply, then we are not constrained by the availability of the intermediate raw material. So that's the base that we set. The other thing that we did was that we unlocked the trains or the operating system in our span to be able to actually change over smoothly from commodity to specialty, and within commodity, the kind of commodities that have an immediate demand. So that's something that we did. Therefore, we again set ourselves up to immediately meet the customer demand as it changes over time. And the third thing that we have done is we operate with a license capacity, and we have secured to the extent possible small increases in license capacity, which actually helped us when the demand picks up. The fourth point I would like to add is that propylene oxide being a key intermediate raw material, we actually had one of our sister companies set up a propylene oxide facility and supply us as and when the need comes up. And this propylene oxide has also helped us reduce the dependence on imports when the demand picks up. So these are all some things that we have done over the years to set the base when, as and when the market helps us to use the facility. Now coming to the immediate part of the last 2 years, I think I would split that those numbers into again two parts. One is where we actually did some smart buying of the raw materials ahead of the uptick in the raw material prices. So as the lockdown started, we started to the extent possible converting the raw materials into finished product and stocking up the raw materials as to the maximum extent we could stock up. So that actually, as the curve went up with easing of curves due to COVID, we captured the benefit of that. Now, on the demand side, the supply chain constraints that the world saw due to the COVID and also the restrictions on imports that were caused because of the supply chain restrictions basically helped us capture a wider share of the market as well as have a better pricing power. So these two have the numbers which actually saw the results come the way it did in the last 2 years. So I would say that there is a structural part to this number, and there is also an immediate benefit that we got due to COVID. So I would split it in two parts.
Thank you, sir. Just two questions on the same aspect. One, you said your capacities which were there, which were probably, if I've understood it right, which were underutilized, you made your raw material supply intact so that it can be used to the maximum usable capacity. So if you can just throw some light, what is our installed capacity and how has the utilization level moved a broader range in last, say, 3 years, 5 years, whatever?
Main product lines, as I told you. We make propylene glycol, which used to be 20,000 tons of license capacity, which we got extended to 22,000 tons. And in terms of license capacity, and we can make 50,000 tons of polyol. The way we unlocked this potential and the result of that was that we were operating around 30-40% on the polyol capacity utilization, which has now come up to about 60-70%. And that is primarily because of this unlocking of the intermediate product. The reason it remains at 70% and not 100% is because polyol by its very nature is a product that we need to change frequently the train to make the to meet the demands of different applications. Therefore, it's not possible to achieve 100%. So 70% is probably equating to somewhere around 90%.
Okay. And last question from my side. Then I'll come back in case I have more. And how is the commodity specialty mix change in last say 3 years, 4 years?
So we were very highly aligned towards commodity. We were almost 90-10 in the initial years, and we have about 80-20 now, which is still not ideal. And as Chairman said, it's our endeavor to increase the specialty exposure.
So this 90-10 was maybe 2 years back?
No, I think it was about 6-7 years ago.
And ideally, where you would like this number to be, 80-20 number to be?
See, ideally, I think, first of all, we have to increase the overall volume. We don't want to cannibalize our commodity for increasing specialty. Because as far as India is concerned, we have a very good position on the commodity side, and we should be able to maintain that position, if not gain a higher market share. Because by virtue of doing that, you will have more control over the sustainability of the performance of the company for the stakeholders. So commodity also has to keep growing. So I'm thinking the volume has to grow in total, both on commodity and specialty. And in terms of mix, as Ravi said, what was 10 is now 20. But I think still our bread and butter would be the focus on commodity. So specialty will grow, but not to an extent where it can become a majority. I mean, as the volume grows, as the total top line grows based on our investment, I would be very happy if we can come to
close to 30% or a little more than that. But never will specialty be more than the commodity, because we are, at the end of the day, a large commodity player, and we would like to maintain that position to provide sustainable performance for our people.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is a text question from the line of Gunman Kohli from KR Choksi. And the question is, thank you for the opportunity. Can you give us a breakup of revenue growth in terms of volume and pricing? Secondly, can you give a split of the margins in the commodity and specialty verticals?
Annalise, you want to take that?
Yeah. In terms of our total volumes, we did a hash total of about 63,000 tons approximately last year, which is 2020-21. And the volumes grew to about 68,000 tons. So that's an increase of approximately about 8%. I think the majority of the growth has come from the price increase, which we have seen both across our two major products, which is PG and polyol. PEG contributing the most for the buy in a snapshot. Margins has been in the range of, the gross contribution has been in the range of about 49%. Again, that's an average for the company for 21-22. But the PG will still lead at a higher figure of about 54% approximately, followed by slab stock at around approximately about close to 40%.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jayant Mamania from CARE Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead. Mr. Jayant, please go ahead with the question. Your line is unmuted.
Yeah. Congratulations for the great set of numbers in the last 6 quarters. As per Wesley, you have said that the import is at the level of pre-COVID level. So the price erosion has started, and to what extent our margins will be impacted?
So I'll attempt that, because we are not able to place a number on the margin erosion or growth, because we don't know how the situation will change in the future. But I think the imports have started coming in. I would not say that they are at the level of pre-COVID levels, but they are growing. So that's the situation now. And also to add to this is the geopolitical situation with the war in Ukraine and the high crude oil prices. So I think it's a bit an uncertain times now. And I think as the war ends and things clear up, we'll know better how this situation will improve. But as of now, all these raw material input costs and an increase in the import is leading to a situation where it is not the same situation as last year.
Sir, can we presume that the performance till 1920 is the history? Now there is a structural change. There won't be repeat of the performance till 1920.
1920
performance remained very poor actually. It was erratic.
Up to 20.
Yeah.
Well, I think I would say that it is basically, like I said, we will probably not be at the levels of last year. But at the level to which we reach is anybody's guess. We don't know that yet.
Sir, can you tell us about the expansion plan which was declared in September 2020 about the PG? What is the status? How much time will it take to complete the project?
The project will get completed 18 months from all approvals.
And we are at the final stage of the approval process with the Minister of Environment.
So when can it be expected?
So we should expect the approvals to come through in the next 2 to 3 months. So it's 18 months from now.
So last question. So we have entered into an agreement with the UK-based Econic Technologies for CO2-based polyol trial runs. So can you tell us about the progress in that case?
So the Econic project is very interesting because it is it's an opportunity for us to get into the green space without an impact to either our cost structure or our production units. So what we are now doing is that we have signed an MOU with them, which will be converted into a contract, after which the trials will be done in two phases. The first phase will be a pilot plant trial that we will set up and run jointly with Econic. Based on the results of the pilot plant trial, we will convert one of our trains into a CO2 enabled train, and that will run and produce polyol, and again that trial will lead us to do more with the Econic technology.
So what kind of cost is involved in that? Total project cost?
What? Project cost. We think that the project cost will be somewhere, the pilot plant would be somewhere around $200,000 to $300,000.
So when it is expected to start?
The pilot plant should start as soon as the contract is signed, which is imminent. So we are talking about months, not years.
Sorry to interrupt. May I request Mr. Jain to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for their turn.
Yeah, thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Request to the participants to please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Jignesh Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity. Is my voice audible?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. So my first question is regarding the CAPEX plan what we have, which was we are talking on September 2020. So could you please update on what is the CAPEX cost and what is the capacity we are planning for PG expansion?
So there are two phases of this project, this PG expansion project. The first phase is the expansion, which is a low cost expansion because it's a brownfield expansion, which will give us about 20,000 tons of PG, and that will come at about 65 crores. And the second expansion will be a similar capacity, and that will come at about 160.
Okay. The next part I have, if I look at the financial, we have clocked much higher revenue as compared to last Q4, but our EBITDA is much lower. Could you please elaborate more why the EBITDA is lower in this quarter as compared to last Q4? Which are the major driving factor for that?
I'll have Anish answer that, but basically, as you know, the raw material prices have run up, and that's primarily the reason for that.
Yeah, as you rightly said, Ravi, the raw material prices have increased as compared to last quarter because of the food prices going up. And also we have witnessed a small correction in the realization for both PG and polyols because of the supply chain easing up as compared to the last year. So Q4 last year, the realization was slightly better than what we have witnessed in the current Q4 of current year.
Well, I would say that, to add here, I would say the realization we have seen has been a very special realization. So this is something that was dependent on the global pandemic situation. So I think it was a very special time where our realizations have been extraordinary. So I would think that what we are going to be seeing from now on would be more sustainable and more realistic in terms of numbers.
Okay. And the last point I have, we have a polio capacity 50,000 tons per annum, but we could operate at 60 to 70% utilization only due to frequent changeover. So are we thinking to set up new production line on polio in near future?
So we recently increased the trains from two trains to three trains, and we will definitely look at that based on the demand situation, because you know, it's not a straightforward correlation. If you add trains, immediately the capacity goes up, because it also depends on how the train is designed and the market demand. But this is something that we constantly look at.
And as okay. I said, you know, this also depends on our constant search for availability of raw materials. So as and when we are able to, we keep on working on sourcing raw materials within India. So as and when we are able to secure a more sustainable supply of raw materials, we will not hesitate to expand capacity.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is the text question from Pranjul Agrawal and from Green Portfolio. And the question is, polio accounts for more than 50% of the revenue. Still, capacity utilization is at 60%. Could you please share the reason for it? Are we not seeing enough demand?
I think we answered that already, because of this, you know, frequent changes to the train. Maybe it doesn't need more evaporation.
Thank you. The next question is again a text question from Aditya Singh from Robo Capital. Hi, sir. Can you please give us broad outlook on resumption of import of finished goods? What are the possible circumstances when the suppliers will resume supplying to India?
So like we mentioned, the supply chain has eased already, and we are seeing imports significantly go up. And I think in the current financial year, they should go back to pre-pandemic levels.
But the focus, I think, will be to compete and secure the market for us.
Correct.
I think that is what we'll have to be constantly working on. So import can come in as long as they are, as long as they find that there is a competitive environment for them. But our focus and our job as Mangi Petrochemicals will be to constantly keep our efficiencies high and our costs as optimum as possible, so that we can face off the competition and continue to sustain the market.
And our local presence, just to add to our chairman's comment, our local presence, given the nature of the product, gives us an edge over the importers, because we are able to be just in time to support technically whenever it's required. And our endeavor to increase the capacities will obviously contribute to better top and bottom.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kalai Jyoti from Snowwell Financial Services. And the question is, Chairman sir, thanks for giving the opportunity to take part in this session. Whether the last 2 years' growth is very good, whether this may continue to future second, have companies steps to maintain the EBITDA level in future also?
So I think we have touched upon this earlier. As I said, you know, the last year especially has been a very special year for the company, and this has been basically because of the surprises the market has seen due to the lockdowns and the pandemic. However, it is our endeavor to put in operating parameters that will sustain our business over a longer period of time. So as we have discussed, our focus will be on improving efficiencies. Our focus will be on managing raw material supply. Our focus will be on managing our financial parameters, our balance sheet health. Also, as we have explained, we will work towards bringing in technology like Econic, where if we are successful, then that helps us to at least partly replace our raw materials with a raw material that is made from CO2, which is much, which helps us on costing, which helps us in reducing the input cost. So these are the efforts we will put in to make sure that we are able to sustain a good performance parameter. So that's our whole approach, and not get carried away by what we have seen in the last year, which is basically a surprise for everybody.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gunman Kohli from KR Choksi. Please go ahead. Gunman Kohli, please go ahead with the question. Your line is unmuted. Mr. Gunman, may be requested to unmute yourself if muted from your handset.
I just had a follow-up question. What is the current pricing environment for your products, and how will it affect growth going forward? Since you mentioned, you know, bulk of your revenue growth for this year is coming from pricing power. So could you just elaborate on that?
So relative to last year, I think the prices have definitely softened a bit, and so have the raw material prices have gone up as well. So that's the immediate situation. But like I said, you know, this is an evolving scenario. So we need to wait and see how the margins will change over this year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Haidri for closing comments.
We thank the participants for having joined for this very first analyst and investor call that the company organized. So as mentioned by Chairman, we will try to make this a more frequent event. And I hope we have addressed concerns and the questions that the investors had in this call today. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We hope to connect with you soon going forward.
I'd also like to convey my thanks to everybody who has participated in today's call. And it is also a great source of motivation for us to continue to have this engagement with the stakeholders. And as I said, our focus is on creating a solid foundation in the company to provide good governance, commitment, and a sustainable performance. And my special thanks to the organizers for organizing this very nice and opening analyst meet for the company. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Minali Petrochemicals Limited, that concludes today's session. Thank you for your participation. You may now click to the exit meeting to disconnect.